time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by Big Ass Fans. Ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
Here we go for Thursday, the 15th of April. Isn't this nice? Host of the Jerry Agar Show on News Talk 1010. I've heard of him. It's Jerry Agar. Hi, Jerry.
Coincidentally, it's Jerry Agar, the
oddly
host
enough,
of the Jerry Agar Show.
News Talk 1010 political commentator Trevor Mayo joins us as well. Hey, Trev.
Howdy, gents.
You know, Jerry, I missed it when Todd Rogers used to host your show. It was great when it was the Jerry Agar Show with Todd Rogers. Oh, yeah. Those days.
And then what happened one day is I was on vacation and I wandered in and said, hey, my radio guy just thought I'd visit. And they said, "You unbelievable. Are you kidding? Your name's Jerry Agar." And I said, yeah. And they said, well, we have a Jerry Agar Show.
It reminds me of an old Dennis Leary bit about Lou Gehrig, but I'll save that for everybody else to go Google.
It was too
themselves.
Bad for Todd Rogers, though, because he got fired.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't even have a show. He's like looking for other Jerry Agar shows. Okay. Thank you. The Ford government, we've learned, and again, I want to stress that we knew this going into today, that they were going to have a cabinet meeting. There were very few things that the premier could have pulled the lever on to make changes to, but we're going to find out the full details tomorrow. You'll hear them live on News Talk 1010 when they happen. Some of the things that they're considering, Jerry, cracking down on non-essential construction, cracking down on employers who are sending their employees to work when those people could be working from home, cracking down on manufacturing and warehouses, and getting those employees out of those spaces and back to their homes. I don't know if that's with pay, but we'll find out the details tomorrow. Your reaction?
I was listening to you a little earlier as you were talking about all these various levers that the premier could pull, and I disagree with you. I think that the premier is sitting there with just one meter, and it is cases and nothing else, literally nothing else, just case numbers, and he has one lever that he can pull that goes to lockdown or lockdown harder. In 14 months, they have no other ideas. I wish they'd put a little energy in instead of attacking the public in the province of Ontario, in attacking the real source of our problem ultimately, and that is lack of vaccine supply. Why is not every premier in this province up in arms, or not this, I mean in this country, up in arms on behalf of the people of this country on the total fail that has now captured the attention of the entire world, it would appear, on the total fail of Canada's ability to vaccinate people?
Trevor?
Cool. I think the bigger... So vaccine side aside, here's the frustrating part in terms of what the actual province is doing right now, is everything is so reactive, and it's like every single they do, they keep their fingers crossed, eyes closed, and just wish and hope that something's going to happen. And that's not what we need from the government right now. And there are other levers that they could pull. They could have pulled them 2 weeks ago, and we wouldn't be halfway through a stay-at-home order, which would probably likely need to be extended for a prolonged period of time. And you mean small things like sick leave, which has been asked for a long time, which was on the books before the government canceled it before the pandemic. That would be significantly less expensive than closing and destroying the entire economy of small businesses for an unknown, undisclosed length of time. So there are other levers they could pull. I think my problem is, one, to Jerry's point, yes, they're looking at one thing, and the only thing they're looking at one tool and one tool only, instead of recognizing there's other things they can do. We're looking for them, they're being recommended to them, and yet they're still not doing it, and maybe they'll do it in 2 weeks, and then we'll still be in this in another month and a half from now, and like, what are they doing?
We were just talking about a story from America where police are pulling over 50,000 drivers on a typical day, more than 20 million motorists a year. And in one specific area, they decided to sort of stop the practice of pulling you over for small infractions, and they found that it made a real difference. We talked with our own crime specialist, Mark Mendelson, about this earlier today, Jerry, but I'm curious, is that one of those things that you think that could play here in Toronto? Is it time that we stop pulling everybody over for the little stuff and focus more of police efforts on the bigger crime?
You know, I read the article that was along with this and encountered that aspect of it, and I thought, this is just brilliant. Like, it had never occurred to me before that maybe one of the ways you solve the problem of traffic stops is not do so many. And it may sound counterintuitive right off the top, but what this police chief who has this idea says is that pulling somebody over because their registration has lapsed or they have a smashed taillight is actually not about public safety. It's not, that person does not at the moment present any danger to the public, not like somebody who's running red lights or speeding or a drunk driver or something like that. Let's concentrate on that. And the fewer of these interactions that we have to have, the less chance that we're going to have all the other kinds of trouble that comes along with it.
And when we talked to Mark Mendelson about this earlier today, Trevor, you know, his take on it seemed to be that usually when you pull someone over for something small, that's just scratching the surface and there's usually more there. So it's just good policing to continue to do that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a racial element to this. And I think that's the bigger sort of like push that's actually coming out of this as well, is that you have racialized populations are incredibly disproportionately pulled over for minor infractions. And so that's not even just a theory from the States. That's something that actually the Ontario Human Rights Commission did a report on it and found that there is racial profiling with people of different racialized groups being followed and monitored by police, having different levels of searches performed on them on their person or their car. And so there is a large racial element to it. And so if you can start to remove some of the harassing and disproportionate impacts on different populations by doing policing smarter, more effectively, then that's a good thing. And these aren't just harmful to different populations who may be discriminated against and targeted by some of the systemic issues. It's also just smarter policing. Like, why the heck do you need to have a dangerous police stop on the side of a highway because my sticker's out of date by a few weeks? Why can't that you just take my thing down, mail it back to my home address, and I get a warning or a fine at that point? Why do we have to go through the whole dangerous traffic stop in that scenario? It just doesn't make sense. So I think this is just about smarter policing, but it also has a really important racial element that hopefully will be addressed as well.
Yeah, Jerry, I think you nailed it. You know, it was good reading. It was a brilliant idea that hadn't dawned on me, and I was glad to actually consume that information, and it changed my way of thinking about things, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen all that often.
No, same here. And but I also like the element of just write the ticket. Or you guys were talking about if you see cars in parking lots that have lapsed tags or whatever, then write the ticket and have it sent in. I mean, if we have a license plate, you know where we are. Just send us the ticket. It's not that difficult. And, you know, I have to wonder if there are other things, too, that police officers could be doing as opposed to just being, let's face it, with the tag. They're just tax collectors at that point.
That's all they are in that situation. Let's talk about a vehicle of a different sort, the dump truck. It was the Don't Dump on Us campaign, which seems like it's been going endlessly for years and years and years. It began earlier this week. They took over some of the highways today. They were on the Gardner, the DVP. I believe they were on the 404 for a little while. It's a result of the Ministry of Transportation's requirement that dump trucks update their vehicles. They've had a very long time, Trevor, to get this done. They seemingly don't want to get this done. They want it all grandfathered in. They've had extensions. Those extensions have now passed. I have very little sympathy and very little time for a group of people that have been told and told and given time and told again and still don't have their act together.
Yeah, so this isn't as expensive proposition for a lot of these independent owners of their vehicles. So I completely recognize that it is not an insignificant challenge that they have to deal with. With that being said, the law was originally written in 2000. So it's more than 20 years ago, and it took effect a decade ago. And so, this is not something that was just sprung upon them all of a sudden last month, saying you actually have to pay $20,000 to get your car retrofitted. They've had the time on it. I respect their ability to protest and the right to protest and find a way that actually is drawing attention to their issue, like we are talking about it right now, because they were quite effective today. But at the same time, you had a long time on this. It's go time. The actual rule to me is actually quite responsible in terms of what they want and lighting load on our roads around the city and around the province, which seems quite responsible and effective. So, I'm with you, Ryan. I don't have a tremendous amount of patience, but it's 21 years in the works.
Yeah, Jerry, this probably doesn't come as a shock to you because you host a show between 9 and noon. You know a lot of truckers and dump truck drivers listen to us. We had a whole bunch of people call in and say, yeah, $40,000, that's the way high end. There's no way it's going to cost that. You're talking about a couple $1,000s out of pocket, and there's no reason some of these guys couldn't have scraped that money together over the 21-year period we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be tempted to say, I don't know, because what do I know about trucking? Nothing, really. Other than if there is some move that can save the pounding on the highways, then maybe that's a good thing. But where the truckers lose me is A, the 21 years that you're talking about, the immense amount of time they had, and for them to try and say that this got sprung on them, as some people were trying to say, is just ridiculous from that standpoint. And I forgot my other point.
It's all good. We can move on.
Yeah.
As demand for Ontario's campgrounds continue to dramatically
Oh, wait a second. Oh, I remembered my other point.
You got it back. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I got it back. I don't think going out and plugging up the highways actually gets people on your side.
No, it probably has the opposite effect. At least it did in our text board. As demand for Ontario campgrounds continues to drastically increase, so are people's frustrations with scalpers. Never thought I'd be reading this story. Scalpers who are reselling reservations at steeper prices, sometimes up to 5 times more. Now, Trevor, when we talk about the possibility of increased interprovincial travel and that being something you can't do this summer, campgrounds are going to be at even more of a premium. So now you have people coming in and taking advantage of that. Is there a way to stop this? And or is this just something that's going to happen inside of what we're dealing with right now?
I don't know if any of you have tried. I actually tried to go on and book quite some time ago, some spots this summer or a spot this summer. And it was like impossible. There's nothing available. And so there is a next level demand on campsites, which makes sense, right? And especially if you don't have a backyard, you're trying to find outdoor space that you can enjoy this summer. With that being said, I mean, we did actually have a law in the books about like reselling and the scalping extra tickets to events and things that probably could have applied to this, but that was scrapped by the current government. I don't know if the if parks system needs a better online system that it's actually tied to a person and then it goes back into the pot if you can't go. I don't know. There seems to be a better way that's they could do it technologically, because it, like, if you think about a lot of people going camping, it's supposed to be a low cost activity that you go. It's very affordable to go and enjoy Ontario parks, and then to have them jacked up like that, you're essentially just scrapping out so many people who can't afford to rent a cottage and just want to access and enjoy the outdoors this summer. So it's pretty cruel.
Jerry?
I think this should be easier to handle for campgrounds, because does everybody walk up to the campground or you drive up to the campground? Like, why not have a situation where you register who has, this would be easier than it is, I think, with tickets to concert events. Who has the reservation? Does that person, can that person show a driver's license and a license plate? I'm sorry, sir, you're not the person who made this registration.
Yeah, only the person that makes that res actually gets to use the spot.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Big.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get to avocados unless you guys have a very quick comment as to whether or not you care that one avocado to grow it costs, it takes 60 gallons of water. Is that going to stop you guys at all?
No wonder
I don't
I feel
eat
so bloated.
Vegetables, so I'm good.
Okay. One guy's bloated, the other guy's just all about the meat. Fair enough. Thank you, Trevor, Todd Rogers, Jerry Agar.